And they took Lot, kidnapped him, captured him, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, took all his goods and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. When Abram heard his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided his forces against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobath, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, his brother's son, his nephew, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him, the valley of Shaveth, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham, Abram." He blessed him. "Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, a possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." He gave him tithes of all. I turn to Hebrews 7. I began there so that we might see the one and only appearance of Melchizedek. Only one and only appearance of Melchizedek. He's referred to often in the Word in Psalm 110. David wrote in Psalm 110, verse 4, "The Lord has sworn and will not repent." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And then in Hebrews 5, the Apostle Paul says in verse 6, he saith in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Verse 10, Hebrews 5, "Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Chapter 6, verse 20, "Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now then, let's read. Starting verse 1 of chapter 7. "This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation," he's talking about Melchizedek now, "king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, pedigree, no ancestry, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." And I consider how great this man was. That's the title of this message. Consider how great this man was, "unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." Consider how great this man was. Consider how great in his offices. Look back at these statements. In his offices, he's called in verse 1, the priest of the Most High God. That's his office, the priest of the Most High God. And then secondly, in verse 2, he's called the King of Righteousness. The King of Righteousness. And then, verse 2, the King of Peace. These offices are nowhere in the Scriptures combined in any one man except in Christ. King, the priest, verse 1, he's Melchizedek is the priest of the Most High God, and he's the king. He's the King of Righteousness. Now, King Saul tried to combine those two offices. Remember when he offered the sacrifice? Samuel was not there to offer a sacrifice, so King Saul went ahead and offered one. And God immediately took the kingdom away from him. King Uzziah tried to combine these two offices, priest and king. He tried to combine these two offices. That's where Isaiah wrote about his death. King Uzziah was a great king, a wonderful king. People loved him. He obeyed God until his heart was lifted up with pride. And he went to the temple to offer a sacrifice. And about 85 priests met him there about their duties and said, "O king, it appertaineth not to thee to usurp the authority of the priest." And he just pushed him out of the way, went in, and God killed him, turned him into a leper. So consider how great this man was, the priest of the Most High God and the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. Now, consider how great he was not only in his offices but in his benedictions. He blessed Abraham. Down in verse 4, when it says, consider how great this man was, this Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham paid tithes, before whom Abraham bowed and gave a tenth. Here's Abraham. Now, remember, this is before God gave the ceremonial law. This is before the law, long before the law. This is before Almighty God gave the law to Moses, the ceremonial law. This is before God gave the tabernacle, the plans for the tabernacle. This is before God ever decreed the priesthood. There was no priesthood at this time, except the father, who was the priest of the home. There was no priest offering sacrifices when Abraham's. The priesthood started with Moses. Isn't that right? The tabernacle, the sacrifices, the atonement, the Passover lamb. This is before the Passover lamb. This is back in the days of Abraham. This is before God ever defined the priesthood of Aaron, his sons. And here this man appears who's the priest. This is the priest of the Most High God. Now you consider how great this man was. King of Righteousness, King of Peace. And here he is. Here's Abraham, the father of all believers, the father of Israel, the father of the church, worshiping before him and being blessed by him. And then verse 5, he said, you Hebrews, listen. This is what this is, the book to the Hebrews. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment which started with Moses to take tithes of the people. That's when it all started, the tithes and the priesthood and the tribe of Levi, according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. You see, the Levites, let's turn back to the book of Numbers. They were 12 tribes of Israel. And turn to Numbers 18. There were 12 tribes of Israel. And all the tribes had an inheritance. All the tribes, when they divided up Canaan, the land, they divided up into 11 portions. But the tribe of Levi own no inheritance. They own no land. Now let's read this in Numbers 18. They were the special tribe. They were the tribe of the priest. Numbers 18, verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I'm your part. I'm your portion. Thine inheritance among the children of Israel. I am your inheritance. And behold, I've given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle and the congregation. That's the tribe of Levi.
Neither must the children of Israel there herefore come now to the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites,
the tribe of Levi,
shall do the service of the tabernacle and the congregation. And they shall bear their iniquity, shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord. I've given to the Levites to inherit. You see that?
And that's what he's saying here in verse 5 now of Hebrews 7.
Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, the old tribe, that's the priestly tribe, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law,
under the law. The children of Israel brought to the storehouse tithes of everything, not just money. Out there in the wilderness, they didn't have a lot of money, I imagine. Maybe they didn't have much money in Canaan, but they brought tithes of herbs. And our Lord said, you tithe mint, anise, cumin, all these things, and these things you ought to do. Not you, under the law, back then. And that all went to the tribe of Levi.
But verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them,
Melchizedek, he didn't come from Levi.
He wasn't of the tribe of Levi.
He wasn't associated with Levi. He was long before Levi.
Here he is receiving tithes of Abraham.
And he blessed him that had the promises. Here's Melchizedek, whose descent is not from Aaron, not from Levi's, both receiving tithes and blessing Abraham himself, to whom the promises were given.
And that's here, listen to this.
Without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The less is blessed of the better. Abraham, who offered sacrifices to God, he blessed Isaac. The greater, the less. Isaac blessed Jacob. Jacob blessed his sons, among whom was Levi. And Aaron, and the tribe of priests who blessed Israel. But here's all of them. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Levi, all of them before Melchizedek. That's what he says, consider how great this man was. The less is always blessed of the greater. That's what he's establishing here, the greatness, the priesthood of Melchizedek.
In verse 8, and here,
back here in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic law, men that die receive tithes. They were supported by the tithe. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat for the tribe of Levi, and also for the unfortunate of the people of Israel. But there, at this time, now, the pictures you talked about here, here's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Levi, Aaron, all of Israel, blessed of Melchizedek, who's the greatest. And here, men receive tithes, men that die. But there, at that time, he received them, Melchizedek, of whom it is witness that he lives. He lives.
That's right.
down at verse 3 of chapter 7, without mother, without father, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, he lives. Who is this Melchizedek? This is Christ. This is Christ our Lord. Consider how great this man is. He lived. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. I'm just going to read a part of this. Here's our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the priest of the Most High God. Here's the King of righteousness, the King of peace. In Proverbs 8, verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Proverbs 8, verse 22. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Thank God for that. He was our surety then. Listen. Now therefore hearken unto me, you children, and blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. God has spoken to us by his Son. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Whoso findeth me, findeth life, shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me must love death, because he's life. That's what that verse says there in verse 8. There he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed he liveth. And now look at verse 8, or verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi also, this tribe of Levi also, under the law, who received tithes, who lived by the tithes, who lived by the inheritance of the temple, who received the tithes and who offered the sacrifices, he paid tithes in Abraham. For he was in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him, when Melchizedek met Abraham. All Israel was in his loins. In his loins. But through Isaac, all the church was in his loins. Through Isaac, thy seed shall be called. And when he was blessed of Melchizedek, he met Melchizedek, we all paid tithes in him, and we were blessed of Christ, our Melchizedek, our great high priest. That's right. Now verse 11. You know, let me show you Galatians 3 a moment. Hold that right there and just turn to Galatians 3. And our relationship with Abraham in Galatians 3. Now, you listen to this. Abraham's children are not the Jews. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles. But Abraham's children in the Scripture are believers. In Galatians 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, they are the children of Abraham. And in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed which is Christ. So verse 29, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and your heirs according to promise. Melchizedek's always been our priest. These Levitical priesthood was simply types, patterns, and pictures of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 11, listen to this. Now, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, if salvation and fellowship with God and forgiveness of sins had been attained under that Old Testament priesthood, Old Testament sacrifices, Old Testament ceremonies, Old Testament types, then what further need? Look at verse 11.
If therefore perfection is by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek?
Why another priest? Why another priesthood?
After the order of Melchizedek, and not after the order of Aaron. In fact, a different priest, after the order of Melchizedek, the kingly tribe, Judah. For the priesthood, verse 12, being changed, God changed the priesthood and therefore changed the law.
That's the reason we can't go back to that Old Testament law of tithing, and Sabbath days, and dietary laws, and like the priesthood, the Catholic Church has a priesthood. The Episcopalians have a priesthood. They call their pastors the priests. No, it's been changed. For the priesthood being changed, there's of necessity a change of the whole law. The whole thing. The whole thing. Turn to Hebrews 10.
Let me show you this over in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 4. It's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Wherefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. God's never had any pleasure. Never had any satisfaction. Those offerings and priesthood, they never put away one, not even one sin. Never, ever.
Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book is written of me. I read it in Proverbs 8, way back yonder before the foundations of earth. It was written of him. Lo, I come, it's written of me.
Come to do thy will, thy redemptive will above, when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sins I wouldest not, neither had any pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Listen. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first.
First what?
First tabernacle. First priesthood. First sacrifices. First Passover. All these things. Taken away. And establishes a second. What is that second? By the which will was sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Now verse 11, and every priest back yonder standeth daily offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin.
But this man,
after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. So verse back here in our text, Hebrews 7, 12, the priesthood being changed. It's a change also in the law. That old ceremonial law, Levitical law, is gone. It's all fulfilled.
Now watch this. He of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar.
Now, I've been telling you about the tribe of Levi. There are 12 tribes. The tribe of Levi was the priest tribe. And you heard that all while, and I told you that. Well, Melchizedek, Christ, our Melchizedek, didn't come from that tribe. He came from the tribe of Judah. All the way through the Old Testament, it says, of the line of the tribe of Judah, The scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh comes. The root of Jesse, the seed of David. And it says in Micah, O Bethlehem, city of David, tribe of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. That's Melchizedek, our high priest. So there's a change of the priesthood, there's a change of the law, there's even a change of the tribe. He's not a priest after the order of Aaron. He's a king priest. Oh my. No man ever gave attendance at the altar from the tribe of Judah except Uzziah. God killed him. Saul. God killed him. Anybody tried it? Never. It's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. It's a new priesthood. You can't reach back and take those old Levitical ceremonies and laws and bring them into this day. They're over. They're done. They're fulfilled. Christ came from Judah, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He had no house and lineage or direct association with Aaron in any way. The law. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Listen, who is made not after the law. Oh, I love this. Not after the law of carnal commandments. Not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now verse 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness of it. That law could never save. It wasn't given to save. It's given as a picture, as a type. It's unprofitable and weakness, powerless to save. For verse 19, that law made nothing perfect. Never perfected anyone. But the bringing in of a better hope did. A better priest, a better sacrifice, a better covenant, with better promises, by the which we draw nigh to God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. Those Old Testament priests, they were made without an oath. But this, with an oath by him that said to him, the Lord swear, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much, in this fashion, by an oath of God, by the purpose of our Heavenly Father, was Jesus Christ made a surety of a better testament. Those Old Testament priests, there were many of them. They were made without an oath. There were many of them. And the reason there were many of them is because they weren't suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, this priest, our priest, because he continueth ever, has an unchanging priesthood. Wherefore, he's able to save them to the uttermost, to the uttermost extent of guilt, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, in closing this message, I want to give you 9 reasons why he's able, our Melchizedek, our Redeemer. It says here, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He's able. And here's the reason. 9 reasons. Number 1 is found in verse 17. Or verse 16. Verse 16. Here's number one. He's made a priest, not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of an endless life. Who has an endless life? Who's the only one who is life endless? God. Because he's God. That's why he's able to save. He's God. The power of an endless life. Who was, who is, whoever shall be. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. All things were made by him. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's God. All right, the second reason. Verse 17. He testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Aaron, I respect Aaron and all the other priests who faithfully served. But they were just men with a temporary priesthood. They were born and they served as priests and died. The second reason why Christ is able to save, he has an everlasting priesthood. He's a priest forever. He's always been a priest. Always will be a priest. That's the effectual one he's a priest forever. Forever. And then the third reason is given in verse 21. Because the Father made him high priest. Those priests were made without an oath. They were men who served as priests who were not fit to be priests, who were ashamed and disgrace, who were under the disfavor of God. They were one of those high priests that had the Apostle Paul slapped. Stoned, slapped him. Those men were made priests without an oath. They were priests because their daddies were priests. They were the tribe of Levi. But this man, with an oath from him who said, the Lord swear and it will not change. You are my priest forever. That's the reason he's able. He's God. He's a priest forever. And my Father, my heavenly Father, made him priest. And here's the fourth reason, verse 22. Because he's the surety. He was made a surety. What is a surety? It's a guarantor. A surety of the covenant. God made a covenant and Christ signed it as the guarantor. I will be surety and you can require it at my hands. He's our surety. He was made by God the priest and the surety of our covenant. Now that covenant in the Old Testament, he gave Moses. Those were priests of that covenant. But I'm glad I'm not under that covenant. I'm under this one that has the Father's purpose and the Son as the priest. All right, here's the fifth reason. Verse 24. This man, because he continueth ever and has an unchanging priesthood. It doesn't pass from one to the other. It's his. It's always been his. It's his now. It always will be his. It's an unchanging priesthood. There was one priest during Moses' tenure, but during some of those kings, there were several priests. And during the eternality of God's purpose, is just one priest, and that's Christ Jesus. He has an unchanging priesthood. All right? The sixth reason, in verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever lives before God as our priest, as our forerunner, as our advocate, as our representative. These priests came and went. They offer a sacrifice today, and then you may come to the tabernacle, and he's nowhere to be found. But our Lord's always ever living at the right hand of God, making intercession. And that intercession is not, I hear people say, he calls my name. Well, that's all right. But that intercession is his presence. If he's there, we're there. If he's there, his church is there. He's always there. He never leaves the presence of the Father. Our priest is always with the Father. He ever lives. And, not, and the seventh reason why he's able to save is because in verse 26, he had no sin. You know, when old Aaron went in there to offer the sacrifice, Aaron had sins of his own. He had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people's sake. Aaron had, like us, and the moon, a lot of spots. And they didn't know whether Aaron was going to be around or not. But I listened.
But our priest is holy. God is holy. Christ is holy. Harmless. Undefiled.
Separate from sinners. He's identified with us. He's numbered with us. He's our representative. But in his holiness, he's totally separate from us. Made higher than the heavens. Think. You consider how great this man. You ever have any, just the slightest little consideration that these people talk about doing this for salvation, that they're right. Just think how great this man is and how foolish is their hope. To look to themselves or anyone else, how ridiculous. He's higher than the heavens. And then the eighth reason why he's able to save in verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests, how many sacrifices did that bunch offer? Millions, I guess. There were sacrifices for 2,000 years, morning, noon, and night. Blood flowed like rivers through those 2,000 years. They offered up sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. But this man, look at verse 27. He didn't need to offer a sacrifice for his own sins. He didn't have any then for the people. This he did one time. He offered up himself. That's our sacrifice. Himself. Christ himself. If God spared not his own son, he'll certainly give us what his son paid for. And the last reason, verse 28. The law makes men priests which have infirmities. Because that's the only kind of priest you can find among men, priests with infirmities. But the word of the oath, the Heavenly Father, Almighty God, since the law maketh the Son. I love that, those two words. I just put a circle around those two words. The Son. The Son. He made him our priest. And he's consecrated, perfected forevermore. Brethren, as the old lawyer said, I rest my case. I rest my case. There's nothing else to be said. Christ. Our high priest. All right, let's sing a hymn.